chapters. Ephesians chapter 2, one of Paul's letters. And I'm going to be talking to you today about one of the most important subjects that we could talk about. And I hope you can understand how important it is today. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Digest that. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Lord, bless your word to our hearts today. May we all seriously think about the grace of God. What if there was no grace of God? Where would I be at? So may every person here carefully listen and think about these verses. By the grace of God, I'm saved. And now that I'm saved, I'm supposed to live for God. Help me today, Lord, as I stand here, for I need you in Jesus' name. Amen. When Billy Graham was a young, very young preacher, he was going through a small town, and he got stopped by the law. He was speeding 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. So the law said, "You got to go before the judge." So Graham said, "Okay." He got to court. The judge asked him, he said, "Are you guilty or not guilty?" Graham said, "I'm guilty." "That'll be $10, the judge said. $1 for every mile over the speed limit you were going." And suddenly the judge recognized who he was talking to. He was talking to Billy Graham. The judge said, "That'll be $10 and I'll pay it for you and I'll take you out for dinner." And Billy Graham said, "This is how God treats repentant sinners. Grace." I read that, I thought, God's grace. We don't deserve it. Billy Graham had broke the law. You've broken the law. I've broken the law of God. We're all guilty. We can't do anything about it. The judge has already condemned us all. But the judge is offering grace. Offering grace to lawbreakers. Isn't that amazing? That's what I want to be talking about. That's what I want to be talking about. The grace of God stands in contrast to law. The law demands. He had to pay $10. He had to be paid. The law condemns. You've done it. You broke it. And the law gives no hope. And that's what the Jewish people lived under for 1,400 years. In John 1:17, a great scripture, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law said, you got to live this way, and you better not break it. The penalty is severe. In Galatians 5:4, the Bible says, "Christ is become of no effect to you, whosoever of you are justified by the law." You are fallen from grace. That verse tells us that if you're trying to go to heaven on by living a certain standard, you're not going to make it. And there's a lot of people trying to do that. I'm a good person. Hey, God says none of us are good. Now, who's right? The Creator's going to be the one to be right. And a lot of our churches today, some of them, they're hung up on this verse because it says you are fallen from grace. They say that means you lost your salvation. It's not no such a thing. That ain't what it's even talking about. You got to know what it's talking about. What he's talking about is if you're trying to justify yourself by the way you live, you've fallen short of the grace of God. You've not reached the grace of God, and therefore you're still condemned. Amen? Do you really understand the subject of God's grace to you? You're guilty. I'm guilty. Being good or doing good will not take guilt away. Even saying I'm sorry, that won't take the guilt away. You need grace. I need grace. God's grace is talking about offering you unmerited or undeserved favor. Just like the example I used with the judge and Graham. In our opening remarks, there was no reason for the judge to pay Graham's fine. The judge hadn't broke that speed limit. It was Graham. But the judge offered to pay the price. Do y'all know if anybody else has done that? Jesus did that. Jesus did that. I'm guilty. But I can't undo it. But God sent Jesus to pay the price for me. That's grace. Amen? And that's the only way anybody's going to go to heaven, is by accepting the grace of God. We all have offended God with our sin. That means none of us deserve anything from God. We live in an age today, everybody deserves this. Hey, I deserve that. Oh, I ought to have this. Well, get in this book and you'll find out we don't deserve anything. We've all offended God. We've mistreated our Creator. God does not owe you or me anything. Amen. Amen. He don't owe us anything because we have done wrong. You remember back in the book of Isaiah, Bill Monroe preached on that, and I'll just make this remark about it. Lucifer was the most beautiful, given the most authority, the highest position in heaven, but he made a mistake. He thought that he should be God. And we know what happened. He got thrown out of heaven, didn't he? In a heartbeat, he was thrown out, along with a third of the angels that was foolish enough to follow him. And then there was Adam and Eve. Plainly told, don't you eat from that tree there. And think of all the trees there in the garden with all that fruit, and they would eat from the tree God said don't eat from. But they did. And now the whole family, because we were all in Adam. We were all in Adam. He's a sinner. Now we're sinners. But God is offering grace to every person from Adam. I'll forgive you if you'll accept my son. My son's going to pay for your sin. But you're going to have to accept him in your heart. Not just with your mouth. You got to go down into the heart and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, being born of the Spirit and the Word of God. God is willing to forgive us and make us his, even make us his children by grace, through faith in Jesus. Not just forgive us and save us, but make us his children. Hey, Lucifer was not even a child of God before he sinned. So you think about how exalted we are when we are saved by the grace of God. We become sons and daughters of God. Are we taking the grace of God, for example, for granted? Think about it. Are you taking the grace of God for granted? Do you ever think about your sins that he's forgiven you of? My wife keeps telling me, I don't know why I sin like I used to. The Apostle Paul makes an important point in Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 7, and I'd encourage you to look at those verses. Ephesians 2, 5 through 7, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. We were dead spiritually. There was nothing we could do about our situation, having offended God and be separated from God. But the Bible says, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By Jesus Christ, we've been made alive. That's what the word quicken means. By grace, you are saved. Unmerited favor has saved us. Not that we deserved it. No, but God loved us. God loves us so much that God had to find a way, or he did find a way, so he could justify us. That is, accept us to be his people. God had to do something. He had to make a transaction because the problem, we were sinners, and he's a holy God. Are y'all listening? The Bible says, and that's not all that grace has did. Listen what else grace has did. And has made and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, look at that person next to you and say, I'm already in heaven. Tell them. We are. Did you know you really are? You're already there. Now, you don't sense it. But God says we're in Christ. Where's Christ at? He's in heaven at the right hand. We're in Christ. Hey, we don't realize it, but we're already there. It'll be a reality one day. And then we'll have a Baptist fit. Amen. Praise God. Listen, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Think about that phrase. The riches of God's grace, that he would save us sinners and put us in Christ, his Son, and seat us at the right hand of God today. Did you know one day God is going to show his people, the redeemed, he's going to show us off as a trophy to the angels? Any of y'all got a trophy at home? You know what a trophy is, don't you? We used to give out trophies here once in a while. A trophy. God is going to show us off as a trophy to the angels. God's going to something like say, this is the people I redeemed from sin with the blood of my Son. And we're going to be over the angels. Now, you talk about grace. We're going to be over the angels that was always holy. Are y'all beginning to understand what grace means to you? What God is doing for us on the basis of his grace? He was not obligated to do this. But his love for us is this great. Amen? His love is this great, that he would provide grace to rescue us. Another way we consider God's grace towards us is at the expense of Christ. Christ had never did wrong. Christ was his beloved Son. But grace rules out all human merit. We did nothing to receive his grace. All we did was sin. All we did is go our own way. And in Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Romans 11:6 states. This grace is given by God because of who he is and not because of who we are. Our salvation is all of God. Every bit of it has to do on God's side of the equation. There was nothing on our side. It's God that took the initiative to save sinners. We are no longer under the law, but under grace, Romans 6:14 tells us. Praise God that the Mosaic law was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't have to bring sacrifices. We don't have to observe days and months or years as the Jewish people did. That was all given to them to cause them to realize they were sinners and they needed a Savior. But the Savior has now came. He's died on a cross. It was dead outside of Jerusalem, so everybody passing by would know about it. The crucifixion of Christ was not something that was hidden. It was exposed. And 12 apostles went out with this message and covered the Roman Empire in their lifetime. But Christ has died, but he's broken the bonds of death. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yes. The very center and core of the whole Bible is the doctrine of the grace of God. What a book this is, folks. Don't you throw this book around like some old magazine. Hey, this is the holy word of God. Grace is the most important concept in the Bible, Christianity, and the world. There's no other subject as great as the grace of God. It is most clearly expressed in the promises of God, revealed in Scripture and embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where you find grace at, in Jesus Christ. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely. The peace of God given to the restless. We are living in a time when people feel they deserve this, they deserve that. But in reality, we all deserve hell. Do you realize that's how guilty we are, folks? If there was no Jesus, no cross, that would be our destiny. Couldn't do anything about it. What is grace, and what are some ways people have defined grace? Well, B.B. Warfield said, grace is free sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. John Scott says, grace is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against Him. Jerry Briggs says, grace is unconditional love towards a person that does not deserve it. We live in a world of earning and deserving merit, and these results in judgment. That is why everyone needs grace, God's grace. Judgment kills, only grace makes alive. And God made that possible by sacrificing His only Son. Grace is getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. Christianity teaches that what we deserve is death, with no hope of resurrection. How sad if we lived and died and that was it. We got cats at the house. Some of you had animals too. And they die. And I've seen you cry. That little animal lived, it died. That's it. The Bible don't tell anything about any future for them. But you're not like that. The Bible talks about you and me. That when you die, you're not dead. What was it Billy Graham said? When somebody tells you I'm dead, that's not true. Because I'm more alive than ever. When you die, when you leave this world, you're not going to be dead. The Bible says you're going to be absent from your body, but at the same time, and boy, this is fast, you're going to be with the Lord. And you're going to have a heavenly body. You're going to be clothed with some kind of heavenly body. We're not given much information about that, but we'll have some kind of heavenly covered. In fact, you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah came back? They were dressed. Remember that? When they come to talk to Jesus about his burial and death? Yeah, them guys, they were clothed. And they'd been gone for many, many years. But when you die, that's not the end of you. When your eyes close here and biologically your body quits functioning, you're going to suddenly be in heaven. Or, if you didn't prepare, you'd be at the other place. The grace of God will let you be in heaven if you'll accept it. If you'll accept it. The grace of God, folks, is a person. Did you know that? It's Jesus. He's the grace of God. He's the only way to be saved. He's the sacrifice that God ordained that he be betrayed and nailed to a cross. And at that cross, God was going to transfer all the sins of all mankind from man and put them on Jesus. And God transferred all the sin of mankind to his Son. And his Son suffered on that cross for all mankind. So everybody could be saved if they would accept this sacrifice that was dying in their place. And God let him die on that cross. That was the payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. When Jesus took our sin, he had to die. And he died. But Jesus said, after 3 days, I'm going to get up. And he did. And he's alive. He was witnessed by many, many people. Hundreds of people saw him after the resurrection. He's alive. We just read a while ago, now he's gone to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of God, waiting for the word, son, go get my children. You know, that could happen any second. That could happen at any second. As Christians, we live every day by the grace of God. Every day we have God, it's a day of grace from the Lord, to live for the Lord. We receive forgiveness according to the riches of God's grace. Paul tells us in Titus 2, 11 and 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what we Christians are to be doing. Titus 2, 11, 12. Mark that down in your Bible and meditate on that. That's something to think about. Salvation has been given. It's been proclaimed around this world. It's being proclaimed this Lord's Day through the internet, through pulpits, through emails, through newsletters. Oh, the gospel is going out in so many forms today by people. And people make a decision. What you going to do with Jesus Christ, who died and paid for your sin by the grace of God so you could be saved? Spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. We get saved, hopefully at a young age, and then we've got a lifetime to learn about the Lord. You know what? I was raised in church. I can remember being in my daddy's arms when he'd take us out of church as a little boy. Been to church all my life. But you know what? The more I study this, the more I realize how little I know. And I've been studying and studying and studying. But God is so great, folks. God is so great. Boy, when we get to heaven and we won't be limited like we are, we can learn. And maybe not forget it like we do today. Amen. Amen. Folks, in 2 Peter 2:18, a great scripture, grow in grace, we're challenged, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're supposed to grow in grace. Be growing in the Lord. Learning how I can better serve the Lord. Learning how the Lord can use me. because God has great plans for every single one of us. I wish I could convey in terms that everybody could grasp it, that everybody that comes into the world, God's got the best plan for their life. God's got the best plan, but very few people ever find the best plan. Because we grow up, and in our country in particularly, and a lot of the other countries, we grow up and we're taught, well, what do you want to do? And then you go get school for that. And the first thing we should do as we are growing up is be taught, ask the Lord what he wants with you. Ask the Lord what he wants with your life. Because the Lord has the best life. And the Lord's life doesn't mean you be famous or rich. Nah. God's grace transforms our desires, our motivations, and our behaviors, folks. When you realize you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, what's more important than that? In fact, God's grace grounds and empowers everything in the Christian life. Knowing you're saved. Knowing I'm going to heaven. Do you have that assurance today? That you know you're going to go to heaven? Do you really know that?
Yes, sir.
Grace can't be bought. Clara Barton was engaged in Red Cross work in Cuba during the Spanish-American War. And Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came to her desiring to buy some delicacies for the sick and the wounded men under his command. His request was refused. She wouldn't sell him any food and supplies for his people. Roosevelt was troubled. He loved his men, and he was ready to pay for the supplies out of his own pocket. How can I get these things, he asked. I must have proper food for my sick men. Just ask for them, Colonel, said the surgeon in charge of the Red Cross headquarters. Oh, said the colonel, then I do ask for them. And he got them. And he got them, but he got them through grace and not through purchase. I thought that was another good illustration. Hey, the Red Cross will give it to you to help people. God will give you salvation if you ask him.
Amen.
You can't buy it. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. But it's free. And it meets the need. The grace of God, church. Do you have a full pardon of all your sins? Do you want to live forever in an eternal paradise? Y'all been hearing about down in the Caribbean where Maria, that hurricane, done so much damage down there to Puerto Rico? They talk like, I just read an article yesterday. They talk like it's awful down there. And the people are leaving down there by the thousands because they can't get their needs met. Everything's in such a mess down. The government is broke. It's been run by Democrats for years. And it's just busted everything down there. So they come in here. You want to live in an eternal paradise when there won't be any shortages? Everything's going to be beautiful. And you know what's going to be more wonderful than all the beauty and all the glory? You know what's going to be better than all that? Is God's love. God's love. You got somebody that loves you today? Do you appreciate it? I got up this morning, and as I almost got to the bedroom door, there comes some little white thing running down the hall to meet me. And he said, folks, when we get to heaven, there's going to be such love there you can't even imagine. You're going to be so welcomed. You're going to be so satisfied. You're going to be so happy. And it won't ever end. Is that disappointing? Amen? Hey, folks. Yeah, no more fear of death. The phone won't ring and somebody's got problems. But you know what? In order to get to heaven, you got to accept the grace of God. And it's free. You hear me? It's free. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge, I am that sinner that offended God. I am that one that broke the law of God. And if I don't do that, Jesus said we got to come like a child, humbly. I'm talking about the grace of God today. Undeserved, unmerited favor. God is offering. And when you accept Jesus, God justifies you because his son paid for your sin and for mine. And God could do that because his son is God. And that's what it would take to pay for sin. Just another mere human wouldn't accomplish that. It took someone that was God to pay for sin. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Jesus is God's grace. Don't ever forget that. And the only place you will ever find grace is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We must believe in our heart that Jesus died in my place, paid for my sin. And by such belief and confession, we are given salvation. And one day, we'll live in the eternal paradise of the living God as his sons and his daughter. And in fact, the New Testament teaches us we'll be the bride of Christ. Wow, folks. May we stand. God spoke to hearts today about grace. Why don't you come to the altar? You know, everyone in this room ought to be at the altar thanking God for grace. Grace that would save me. Save me from my sin. Accept me as